welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
We're going to go back to Life's Too Short and look at what's happening with that. So we've been going through this series. If you could just put that up for me, Dan. Life's Too Short 3. Are you ready? So just a quick revision. We've done one, we've done two, we've done three. And this is really about looking at loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, with all your soul. Okay? And in the first series, if you like, in the first one, we looked at Dare to Dream, the vision of the church. We were looking at being one body, one family, one household. We looked at Make Some Noise in terms of, and it was noised on the streets that Jesus was in the house. We've looked at being a place to belong to. We've looked at the fact that this is a place to be welcome home. All right? And the fact that life is just too short to be living something independent of what God has for us. We're looking at expecting a miracle in the house. We're expecting God to move. Okay? And sometimes that just means, like, when something is good, we think we could go further. We could do better, whether it's giving, whether it's worship, or whether it's our walk with God. Okay? So, and we looked at the challenge from the first week was these two statements. Do something for someone else that you'd have preferred not to. And do something to help church that requires you to leave your personal comfort zone. Because if we're not challenging ourselves, we're actually just sitting around. We want to move forward. All right? We want to move forward together. Why do we want to move forward? Because forward is the same, it's the same expression really as growth. That if something is alive, it grows. So we want to be growing personally in God. We want to be growing in the number of people that we're walking together with. We want to be growing in our effectiveness in the town. We want to be growing in the work of making Jesus famous. Amen? Hallelujah. So that was the first week. Then we moved on to this statement. Do you remember this one? I am who I think I am. I am not who I think I am. I am not who you think I am. I am who he says I am. Because so often we undermine ourselves by what we think of ourselves. Is your opinion of yourself in agreement with his opinion of you? Lots of other people will put stuff on you, but does that agree with what he says of you? Because the only statement about you, the only words of love about you that count are what he says about you. He knows you better than you know yourself. He certainly knows you better than others know you. You are who he says you are. You're not a failure. You're not a sinful human being that cannot cope with life. You are not unhealthy. You are not hopeless. Because he says the opposite. We may be, the only thing that we are in God is totally unable to save ourselves. Remember that the cross was not the bad news, but the good news that the way was made back to Jesus. There was a way to get there regardless of what we were like, regardless of who we are. And what are people worth? They're worth the Son of God dying for them on a cross to make the only way possible to bring people back into relationship with God. That's a pretty hefty price, which just shows how often we undervalue what people are worth. Life's too short to live by our own opinions. Life's too short to live by other people's opinions. Let's take what the Word of God says. Amen? And we looked at a few verses. We won't go back through them, but move straight on. We also looked at this statement from Viktor Frankl. Remember the concentration camp survivor. Between stimulus and response, there is space. In that space is our power to choose our response. And in our response lies growth and freedom. That stimulus can be bad. That stimulus can be good. His context was of being interrogated by the Gestapo to be sent to a concentration camp. That's where he got this revelation. That's a pretty strong place to get this kind of revelation. At the time, he worded it as, "There's one thing no person can remove from me, and that is my freedom to choose how I react to what you do to me." He had nothing left. Even his wedding ring was being removed. My freedom that Christ has won for me is to choose the attitude that I have and not allow others to take it away in their opinion that they have. Okay, and then we finished last time with, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Okay, stand firm. Stand firm. All right, Christianity, walking with Jesus, is not about just sitting around and letting him bless you. There's something that on our behalf requires an active response. There's blessing available. There's generosity available. There's everything available for you in Christ in terms of strength and peace and health and joy and love. But there's something that in the Word says you've got to stand firm to take hold of that. We live in a world that is fallen, and that will steal that from you just by life circumstances. I'm sorry to say there will be enough bad things happen to you that will steal that from you unless you learn to stand firm in what you already have. We're not in heaven yet. We pray your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. We expect to live in the kingdom of heaven here on earth, but we're not actually in heaven yet. I'm sorry, but you've got to wait till you die. That glorious day is coming soon when we get promoted to glory. Isn't it odd that sometimes we think negatively about death? When death is the most beautiful thing that can happen when you know the Lord because you're going to a better place. Saint Paul longed to die because he knew it was going to be amazing. And yet he said, but yet for now, I know I need to be here. We need to enjoy life. We need to, our very vision statement says just have great fun doing it. But let's not remove our focus from where we're going. It's an amazing place. And if you ever think, well, I don't know if I'm going to like it, it means you don't understand it yet. We're not all just going to stand around following the worship team all the time. Some of you will be disappointed. Some of you will be excited by that statement. But we will be there to enjoy the presence of God. But we've got to stand firm. Now, let's go back. We've got this statement from Viktor Frankl. I just want to look at something else. This is Life's Too Short 3. And look at this statement from a slightly different way. How do we stand firm? Because if we're telling people to stand firm, how do you stand firm when everything's being thrown at you? We talked about last week, when you're walking through it, don't sit down. Keep walking. Okay? Well, I just want to change one word in this to look at how you stand firm. Here you go. Between prayer and response, there is a space. In that space is the power to choose our response. In our response lies growth and freedom. From when you intercede, from when you release the kingdom of heaven here on earth, there is a space before you see something. It may be immediately, and it'd be a very small space, or it may be a very long space, but there will be a space. And it is in that space that you stand firm. All right? In that space is where faith exists. Faith grows in that space. Because faith says, remember, freedom is to choose. In that space is the freedom to choose that I'm going to trust God. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to rely on his word rather than what I think, my feelings, if you like, or what others say to me. I will choose to believe God's word. Now, is that just then something that an atheist once said, well, faith is choosing to believe what you know not to be true. And it couldn't be further from the truth. Faith actually is choosing to believe what you know to be true. For example, this is a very silly example, but if I stand on this stage, okay, and I jump off, I land on the floor. And if I do it again, I land on the floor. Funny that. If I do it again, Blue Lounge come up to say, what on earth are you doing? No. If I do it again, I land on the floor. And in fact, if I keep doing it, I'm just going to keep landing on the floor. There's not going to be a moment when I just float off. Okay? So even if I have faith that I'm going to float off, it's not going to change. I'm still going to land on the floor because there is something called gravity that is coming into operation. I don't understand gravity. In fact, scientists don't really understand gravity and how it works. It's a bit of a mystery, gravity. But we all know it works because every time we jump off a stage, we land. We don't float. In other words, there is experience. And faith in God is also very similar in that you will get experience of what it's like to trust him. And again, and again, and again, and again. You don't float off in some undiscovered ether. You land firmly on your feet when you trust in God. And because I've learned about gravity in the small, I can also appreciate that if I jump off the footbridge, there's going to be a similar effect. Okay, so I don't jump off the footbridge. I haven't got to actually experience jumping off the footbridge to learn that it's bad for me. I can extrapolate from the experience of God that I've already had. And faith is like that. As we trust in God's word, as we trust in God, as we walk with God, we can take the experiences of how God has just honored that faith and apply it to other situations. We may not have yet been through that situation, but you'll know that God is faithful. You don't need to be afraid because you saw God come through in this time. 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 But the thing is, if I stay here, it's impossible really, isn't it? But if I forever never jumped off the stage, I would never experience the reality that I'm just going to land. I might have the opinion that I would just float off, but I wouldn't. But that might be my opinion. That might be even what I believe. But as I do it, I will experience gravity. As we operate in faith and we stand firm in the promises, we will experience the reality of landing firmly on our feet. Does this make sense? There's an awful lot of blank faces out there. Give me a smile if you understand me. Oh, that's good. There's a lot of smiles. You can extend this to all kinds of other situations. So I might decide that obviously I'm not going to jump off a bridge, but maybe there's a situation in which I want to jump off a chair and I can evaluate from my experience whether gravity will operate in that situation and whether I'm going to get injured or not. All right? Faith is always the same. You will know from experience. The difference is that you've got this huge wealth of wisdom that God has given you in the word that says, this is what will happen when you do that. So you can't base your faith on your experience, but you can use the experience to say, yeah, I've seen it in that though. I've seen it in that though. I've seen it in that though. And when you give your life to the Lord, I mean, just have a chat. If you struggle with this, just have a chat with different people around this room about how their lives changed when they came to Jesus, when they said yes to Jesus. And you'll find story after story after story of how people's lives changed positively. You think, wow, that's a lot of experiences. Yeah, it works. Just like gravity, it works. Talk to the number of people that have received healing from God at some point. You know, a physical healing. How many people in this room at some point in your life have been physically healed by God? Come on, let's have a hand. Right, keep your hands up. Have a look around the room. Now, does God heal today? I think the conclusion is pretty much yes. Okay, how many people, let's try another one. How many people have experienced God's provision in some way? So you needed money or you needed finance or something like that and God provided for you. Wow, look at that lot. Have another look around the room. You see, put your hand down, washing machine. If you jump off the stage, you're going to land on the floor. If you don't know why we're laughing at washing machine, talk to Charlotte afterwards. That's a story from another time, how God provided a washing machine. But between prayer and response, there is a space. The space when I leap off the stage before hitting the floor is very, very small. So there's not much to do in it. But often between coming for God for something and receiving something, there is space. And faith is in that space. Amen? Whether it's healing, whether it's financial need, whether you're praying for someone else who you want to see saved, whether you're praying for the church to grow, whether you're praying for us to be a blessing on the streets of Scarborough, whether you're praying for us to be able to make a positive difference in the lives of people in this Scarborough, you will pray, and in between the prayer and seeing the answer, there will be space. And it's in that space that you stand firm. Faith is in the space. Putting his word into practice gives me experience of how to walk by faith. But if you don't do it, you'll never see it. All right? If you play safe, you'll never be part of the adventure. Hallelujah. So here's some scriptures on faith. You ready? Don't say you were born ready. I'm going to stop saying that. Here's the first one. This is one. Sorry if the print's a bit small. It's all of them. Continue to ask, and what you pray for will be given you. Now, that's pretty specific. We looked at it on Thursday night, if you were here Thursday night. Continue to ask, and what you pray for will be given you. Now, the word continue to me suggests that there is a space. And in space, there is faith. The faith is in the space. Okay? Continue to ask, and what you pray for will be given you. So the standing firm is saying, thank you, I have what I need. I will see it happen in my life. If you decide to go to London, you make the decision, you might get in the car, you might turn on the ignition, but there is a space between you being in Scarborough and between you being in London. It doesn't take much faith, unless you've got a particularly bad driver, but it doesn't take much faith to know that you will be in London, but there is a space. But you've made the decision, you've decided what is happening, and you will see the fruit of having made that decision. But there will be a space. That's just in the natural. But the spiritual often follows the natural. There's just a space where you wait and you remain in faith. I mean, if you give up by the time you get to Leicester and say, I'm not in London. I've been driving for 3 hours and I'm still not in London. I'm going home. You will fail to get to London. The fact is, you know, because this is a natural thing, if you keep on going for another couple of hours or so, you would have got to London. But you gave up because you've been driving for 3 hours down the M1, for goodness sake. You know, 3 hours I've been at this and I'm not there. I made the decision. I got in the car. I've turned the ignition on. I know how it works. We've got the sat nav telling us and we're not there. I'm giving up. I'm going back to Scarborough. But it's the same with prayer. When we're standing firm, we know the destination and we set out. But you don't want to get halfway and turn back. There's still a sat-nav. It's called the Word of God that's telling you this is the direction, this is the way, this is what's going to happen, this is what God's going to do. You will get there. But your experience might be, this isn't London, this is Leicester. I have not achieved what I set out to do. I have failed. No, you haven't failed. You've just not got there yet. All right? And that's what standing firm is. Continue to ask, and what you pray for will be given you. I can't tell you whether it will be 2 minutes or 20 years. But the word says, continue. I'll read to you the full scripture that comes from Matthew 7. Continue to ask, and what you pray for will be given you. Go on seeking, and you will find for what you are looking. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. For everyone who continues to ask receives. He who goes on seeking finds. The door will be open to the one who keeps on knocking. You will get to London, but you have to continue with your foot on the accelerator and concentrating on the drive. All right. I mean, it's still a great analogy because if on the way down you get a bit bored and a bit fed up and decide to read a book instead of holding the steering wheel, there's going to be some issues. Okay? And the same is true in our walk with God and in our prayer life. If you give up, not even in the sense of, I'll just keep on going, and you do something else completely and you let it go. You don't even decide I'm going back. You just let it go. There's going to be some consequences. I want to get to my destination in God. So I'm going to have to concentrate. But between the prayer and the response, there is a space. And as Viktor Frankl said in a different way, it is in that space that our personal choice, our personal response, determines the growth and maturity that happens in our character. We can, a lot of people in that situation where they're not seeing an answer can get very frustrated and get angry even with God. But that is a choice that they've made. We're adults. We get the opportunity to be free to make a choice. Some people are in quite difficult, demanding situations. Maybe it's a severe or even not severe medical issue, and you've prayed and you've prayed and you've prayed and you've prayed. And so far, you might have seen a bit of improvement, or maybe you've seen nothing. But what is going to be your response in that space? Are you going to choose to continue the journey, or are you going to stop? Remember the number of hands that went up for people that said, I've been healed. All those people reached a destination. Maybe they got there quick, maybe they took years, but they got there. Remember all the people that put their hands up and said, God gave me provision in this situation. It was nearly every single person in the room. The good news is the sat-nav is correct. The word of God is right. It tells us where we're going. But we've just got to keep on going. In that space is growth and maturity. The next one up there is 2 Corinthians 5:7. But we live by faith in what he has promised, not in what we see happening at present. It's the same thing. We live by faith in that we're getting to London, even though at the moment we're still in Leicester. Our reality is, I'm at the M69 junction in Leicester. But I know where I'm going. It's just going to take a bit longer. The difference with a physical journey is we've got an approximate idea of how long it will take. Though sometimes we can be surprised. Although we shouldn't be when we're on the M1. There's going to be traffic jams. There might be difficulties. There might be blockages in the road. But the only way to get through the traffic jam is to stay in the traffic jam and go right through and keep on going. It's exactly the same in a walk of faith. There are times when there's just so much traffic in the way, it feels like we're not making forward progress. But the only real choice is to keep going. Because if I turn around and go back, I'm never going to get there. It's a very simple message, I know, this morning, but I think, to me, it really spoke. We don't walk by what we see. We walk by the promise that we have. And it's not a pie in the sky. The promise that we have in the Word of God is as sure as that gravity is going to make me land on the floor. Because I know I'm going to land on the floor, because every time I've done it, it's happened before. Every time someone else has done it, they've always landed on the floor. I haven't seen anyone float away yet. Everybody always lands on the floor. Look at all those hands that were up. Of all the number of people that received health or finance provision by standing on the word, there's a lot of experience that you can rely on. But it's the word that is our true sat-nav. Here's another one at the end there. John, that's not John 20, verse 21. That is something like Ephesians 6. That's left over from the last presentation. Your faith is like a shield that you have to take hold of and that enables you to overcome anything the devil throws at you. Your faith is like a shield. And I mean, all these things that Paul writes, they're just the same as what I'm saying. They're analogies to help us from the natural to help us understand the spiritual. So faith comes in and says, I am not believing the lies about me that either I think or others say or the circumstances are dictating. By faith, I will stand upon God's word. By faith, if I jump off the stage, I will land on the floor. By faith, if I set out for London, I'm going to get there. The car might break down. I might have to wait for the AA. I might run out of fuel, but I am going to get there because that is my destination. And that's just your will. Imagine when your journey is God's journey and you're lining up with God's will. How can you possibly not get there? How can there possibly ever be a circumstance that would mean it was impossible? The only reason for not getting to the destination is that we make a choice in the space to turn around. But it's in the space that lies growth and maturity in our walk with God. Here's a few more verses, and then we're going to go back into worship. But when we go back into worship, we're just going to rejoice. I'm getting to the destination. It's a very, very simple message this morning. We're going to get there. And we might get there in the next minute. We might get there in the next 20 years. But we're getting there. We're getting there. We're getting there. We're getting there. We're not stopping now. We're not stopping now. We're getting there. We're going on. Amen. We have a promise. We have so many promises over us as a group of people. We're getting there. We're getting there. We're getting there. We had a promise of a building. We had a promise that God would give us a building in the town centre. Between the promise and the manifestation of the summit was a period of 5 years. There was a space. After 4 years, we could have said, we're wrong. This is never going to happen. Let's give up. But we didn't. We held on to the promise and said, God is faithful. I believe the sat-nav, the word of God. I believe that when I jump off the stage, I'm going to land on my feet. I'm going to trust God that when I leap in faith, He is going to enable me to land firmly on my feet and I will go on. So we carried on trusting God that we would see a building. And miraculously, we heard of a place on St. Nicholas Street. And miraculously, finances came together to enable us to be here and meet here today. We still have promises on upon us that seem impossible. But the building seemed impossible. We have a promise on this group of people of there being 2,000 of us. How's that going to happen? Especially in this room. I think there might be another room involved. What do you reckon? But I don't know how long it's going to take to get there. But you're coming on the journey. I'm getting in the car. You're going to join me. You're going to close the door and put your seatbelt on because occasionally the ride might get rough. And there might be a few traffic jams. But there's going to be other times when we've just got the cruise control on. We're just enjoying the music on the whatever you call it. Stereo, carb, record player? No. I told you I was having trouble with words today. A record player in a car would be an interesting innovation, wouldn't it? I'm sorry for you younger people, you don't know what one of those is, but you know. But faith is like a shield. When the negative stuff comes in, I pick up the faith that says, no, I may be feeling ill, I may be experiencing sickness, but by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. You might be facing a large bill and you don't know how you're going to pay it. But by faith, I will pick up the shield that says, He is my provider. Amen. I'm not making assumptions. I'm not just thinking I can lie around in a deck chair and God will do everything for me. I need to stand firm. I need to pick up the shield. I need to take up that faith in that space between stimulus and response, there is faith. To see that change, I have to make a choice that I will stay with what God has promised me. We are involved. We are part of God's plan. God doesn't treat us like toddlers. He says, you are adults. I want you to mature. I want you to grow. He doesn't want a bunch of toddlers because He wants a relationship with intelligent, wise, mature human beings. He delights in seeing us grow. He delights in allowing opportunities for our faith to grow. He will use every bad circumstance and flip it so that we grow in faith. Because He just enjoys. It's like any parent that loves to see their child grow. They love to see their child grow in wisdom and maturity and skill. It's a delight to see any child get better at something. It's amazing seeing Joel here get awesome at football and get better and better and better and better. You know, everybody that knows Joel is like, this is cool, this is brilliant, he's so good at this. We don't want him to stay playing football like he did when he was seven. When he was seven, it was brilliant for a seven-year-old, but as an 11-year-old, it would be pretty rubbish. But he hasn't. He's grown over the 4 years and he's more and more skilled. And God is just the same. He doesn't want us to stay like a seven-year-old. He wants us to grow in him. We're all at different stages, just like children are all at different stages. We all face different challenges. When you're seven, writing a 10-page essay is a little daunting. Hopefully, by the time you're 17, writing a 10-page essay is not so daunting. Okay, that was a bad example. But you get the point. Pick up the shield. Pick up the shield that says, I'm growing in God. I'm walking with God. I'm not sitting around in God. I'm walking with God. Notice that scripture in, there in Corinthians, in that translation, we live by faith. In the NIV, it says, we walk by faith. It's a journey. It's a progression. It's not a sitting around drinking pina coladas. It's an active participation adventure that we're on with God. Jesus said, I will send you as my disciples. Not, I'm just going to let you sit around and drive Ferraris. Oh boy, have I got some amazing cocktails for you. He said, I've got a life of adventure for you. Go into all the world and make disciples. You're going to do greater things than me, Jesus said. You're going to see some amazing things. That again is faith. Where is it? I've got it. Here we go. I tell you the truth, says Jesus. Anyone who puts faith in me will do the same things that I've been doing. Now, he's talking in the context of all the healings and miracles and amazing things. He's talking to his disciples. But remember, he told his disciples, teach the others, teach those people everything I've taught you. So if he taught this to his disciples, they had to teach it to us. So John wrote it down so we could read it. Anyone who puts his faith in me will do the same things that I've been doing. And then the next bit, it's the one where you think, I've got to get to London. Or Edinburgh, if you go in the other direction. He will be able to do even greater things than these. This is Jesus speaking. He did some pretty cool stuff. I mean, he brought people back from the dead. Greater things. He will be able to do even greater things than these because of what will happen when I return to be with the Father. What happened, of course, was the Holy Spirit came and lives in us. So we can now walk with God in a way at that particular point. The disciples just couldn't. They were not filled with the Spirit in the same way we are. We can do greater things. You getting on the journey? You getting in the car? Greater things than these. Greater things than these. Greater things than these. Hallelujah. So, shall we respond? How do you respond to a word like this? I think you have to rejoice. You have to say, I don't know how I'm feeling. There might be a bit, for some of you, it might be a bit much to take in, even. You think, well, you don't know what I'm going through. No, I don't. But I know you're getting there. I know that if you set your face forwards following the Lord, you'll get in there. You might be in this place this morning and have not even yet made a decision to follow Jesus. And I can say to you, this is as just much for you as somebody that's been following Jesus for 20 years. Because all you need to do is get in the car. Jesus is actually the driver. You just need to get in the car. You just need to say yes to Jesus and stop trying to drive your own life. He's called you to a life of adventure, but you've got to say yes to him. You've got to turn from doing things your way and say, I'm going to do it your way now, God. I'm going to go your way. I'm going to follow you. But the response for all of us right now is just the same. We're going to stand. We're going to let the worship team come forward. And we're just going to rejoice that I'm on the journey. And that it's by grace. Because if it wasn't by grace, we would never be able to make the journey to London. But he's driving us and he's enabling us. And when we pick up that shield of faith, it's not just our determination. It's the fact that he himself, by his Spirit, enables us to stand by faith. Now, if you don't know Jesus yet, that's the bit you can't do because you haven't got the grace of God operating in your life. And so if you've never said yes to Jesus, this morning is that opportunity to do that. We'll give you that opportunity right at the end of this morning. But be thinking about that right now. It's this morning, the morning, that you say yes to Jesus. I want to be a follower of yours. I'm coming on that journey. This is what I've been looking for. I knew there was more to life. There is more to life. His name's Jesus Christ. So let's have the worship team.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.